I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No 611, and this is the Steve Cochran Show. No number 1,348. Woo! Woo! Why don't we dance a little?
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby.
John DeCoss is with us today, and John comes in a day a week, and when he comes in, much like Fred and Barney, I pick him up on the way to the Slate Rock Gravel and Quarry.
That's true.
And I said something this morning, which, again, labeled me as the old guy that I am. It's something that, I'll just throw this out as a text question right now, because there's got to be more. Things you say that identify you as an old guy. I said, John, I'm going to roll up the window. We haven't rolled up the window.
The window in a long time.
Since what? The 80s? Early 80s?
Maybe.
And I said, you can't because there's prohibition.
Right. Nobody rolls up the window anymore.
I have a cousin who is like 13 years younger than me, and I used to have a Saab, like the Saab, I don't know, Saab 900 or whatever. The one that was in the commercials with the, like, you know, rounded back.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And everything was manual in that car, and he got in once and wanted to do the window, and he's like, oh my God, this car is so dismodern.
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 Dismodern. Wow.
I rolled my windows. 97 Lumina, baby.
So 97 head still has a crank?
Yes, it does.
Well, that's good to know.
Just passed the emission test, so it can do two things. Roll down windows and pass.
You know what's sad is I used to have a bit about a car coming out of fog, and I used to use aluminum, but I changed it because it was so old.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Bring it back.
I got one of those old guy things.
What's yours?
So the other day, I was with a friend, and they couldn't dial the phone number that I wanted. And I said, here, give me your phone. Let me dial it.
Oh.
Or dial it up.
Dial your phone.
Dial your phone.
Dial it up and roll up the window.
Anytime you ask anybody, you got a tape of that?
Yeah, you got a tape?
Yep. Let me tape it.
Let me tape it. Yeah, you know, I say that too.
I say it all the time.
My mom says instead of you roll a video, can film it. Can I film that?
Oh, no. Yeah. This has turned out to be a terrible idea.
Or let me snap a picture.
Great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll use the term gaslight instead of electric.
When you say gaslighting now, it means something completely different.
Yeah, right. You're like, is that appropriate for the radio?
312-981-7200, callers and texters, what identifies you as an old guy? Stuff you hear or say all day. And I'm going to roll up the window and continue here. We'll do the top six at six. Let's do it now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle, who finished second by 42 points, I believe. 44 points, 46 points, a lot of points. Held hands at a prayer, in prayer at a unity rally with Jesse Jackson yesterday. He said it's a new day for all of Chicago. And then at one point, I don't know if you guys saw this, Tony Preckwinkle reached over and choked her. And Lori Lightfoot's security team had to dive on her.
That did not happen.
That didn't happen. No, it didn't happen. Next. This is an amazing story, and you just have to pray that it's true. An Aurora boy named Timothy Pitson disappeared in 2011. His mother took him from school and then stopped several places, including the Dells and a water park and different things. And then somehow ended up in Rockford at a motel by herself. She killed herself that night. He was a little boy of five or six. And she said, he's safe with other people, but you'll never find him. It was among the notes she left. The father of the little boy, and this estranged marriage, and the family have been looking for him since then, obviously. And the school that he went to, everybody was devastated. Well, yesterday in Cincinnati, a 14-year-old, which is how old he would be now, ran across the bridge from Cincinnati into Kentucky. And if you've been in Cincinnati, you know there's the bridge that crosses the river there. That Kentucky's right on the other side. And ran up to a house, and then some other neighbors were around as well, and said, "My name's Timothy Pitson. I just escaped from two kidnappers." And he could, he had kind of a loose, at least from our standpoint so far, identification on the two kidnappers. It sounds like he'd been passed around through the years to various people. And I'm, you know, immediately you think sex trafficking. But if this is true, this little boy has been missing for 8 years, is now a 14-year-old, and he's alive.
And they're doing, they think they said today that we'll get the DNA. They did the test, right, Grisana?
Yeah, the Pitson family members are saying that they've been told by police to expect results from a DNA test by this afternoon.
So it takes about 24 hours, a particular test they were doing. Next, some members of the special counsel's team, that's the Mueller team, said Attorney General Barr did not adequately portray their findings. He said their findings are actually much more troubling for President Trump than Mr. Barr has indicated, and that the obstruction portion of the charges are much more serious. Barr came out with a four-page summary in a couple of days of a 400-page report that took 2 years to compile, and the president's been running around saying he's completely exonerated. Barr didn't even say that. But when that report is released, it's now still tied up in arguments in court time. That report will be probably highly redacted, and members of Congress are going to actually ask for it to be not so. In a semi-related story, a member of a particular committee asked for Trump's tax records that he's always refused to release. This is another thing that's going to go to court. Congress has a right to the president's tax returns, and they've asked for them for the first time officially. And they're asking for the last 6 years. So there's your next fight.
Stephen, there's in the back to the Mueller report, there's also a report that Barr, the Attorney General Barr, is going through the report finding areas of executive privilege on behalf of the president.
Those he can't do.
Which, yeah, that's something that the executive has to do himself. So there's that part of the story as well.
Well, I hope that's not true.
Yeah, me too.
Next. Amy, is it Eshleman or Eshulman? This is the First Lady of Chicago, the soon-to-be First Lady at any rate. I apologize for mispronouncing her last name. I just don't know how it's pronounced. Here's a few things you should know. She is the wife of Lori Lightfoot. She is originally from Sterling, Illinois, lived in Chicago since 1991, was a student-athlete at Sterling High School. She played tennis and basketball. She's super tall.
She is really tall.
It's got to be 6'3", 6'4", right?
I think it's so cool. It says that she was on the girls' 1977 team, which was the first girls' basketball state champion in Illinois.
How about that?
I think that's funny because I was one, and it's weird to think that it only goes back that far. You know, an Illinois State girls champion.
You were one in 1977?
I was. And it is Eshleman, by the way.
Eshleman? Okay.
Yeah, because I grew up with an Eshleman family.
Oh, you did?
And they had it the same way.
Are
it
you related to, do you know
no,
the first lady?
No, because this family had like 8 kids, and they were all girls, and they were A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but the first one was Annette, so it's not Amy.
Oh, they literally spelled or gave the kids names in alphabetical order?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Annette, Bernadette, and I can't remember the rest of them.
Claudette?
No, it was bizarre.
She's also, Amy Eshleman is, a former Chicago Public Library Assistant Commissioner, worked there for the entirety of the Chicago Public Library Commissioner Mary Dempsey's tenure, which was 94 to 2012. Dempsey had worked closely with Lori Lightfoot in the Daley administration. I don't know if she introduced the two of them, but Lori Lightfoot and Eshleman been together for 16 years. They got married on the same day that same-sex marriages became legal in Illinois.
I'm excited to see this couple.
Meet your first lady.
Yeah.
Next. Pope Francis named an archbishop. Archbishop William Gregory of Atlanta has been elected to lead the archdiocese in Washington, where Cardinal Donald Wuerl resigned in October after he was named in a grand jury report that accused church officials of covering up sexual abuse. He still faces charges, ramifications from that day. And finally, today's National Burrito Day.
Can I tell you something funny about a burrito?
You can't roll up a burrito. Well, actually, you can.
Roll it up. Well, it's a roll. A burrito is rolled, I guess. Sometimes you can have a burrito disaster where it unrolls. But Michael Heidemann, who's on our show now, he told me yesterday that he's just been turned on to sour cream and getting sour cream on his burrito beach burritos.
Now, hold on a second. What
just
are you
now?
Just now? Dude, how old? Aren't you like 30? How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 33.
33, and you just now have discovered sour cream?
I had no idea it was as good as it is.
What a sheltered life have you led?
Yeah, I was trying to, like, you know, watch my weight or whatever, but now I'm fully into the sour cream.
And it's all downhill from here.
Yeah.
It is. I was telling him how I don't let myself get sour cream because
sour cream's great.
It's a gateway to cheese, and then I'm eating cheese on my
cheese stuff. Is great.
So, Michael, I'm just curious, after you order from Taco Bell, do you then roll up your window?
Yes, exactly. You know what? I'm going to put that on the old man list. What sour cream?
So, Michael, let me suggest also sour cream on a baked potato, sour cream on nachos.
I would recommend sour cream on sour cream.
Yes, sour cream on sour cream.
I use it to make my mashed potatoes.
See, this is what I was worried about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Do you like chips?
I do.
Yeah, if you have sour cream and onion chip dip, you'll never go back.
Oh, yeah, French onion and sour cream, yeah.
This is without the onions,
by the way.
Yeah.
Michael, have you ever had a can of lard? That's pretty good.
How about
Not my seventh birthday.
Heidemann's in really good shape. He'll be 275 by the weekend.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It is 626. Hey, if you love golf, there's a couple cool things going on at Augusta. There is a female tournament this weekend, and women at Augusta were usually forced to work the concession tents or sit there as spectators. And a couple of years ago, Augusta went crazy modern and allowed two women in as members, one of them being Condoleezza Rice. Well, now the walls continue to come down, and there's a tournament this weekend. But there's also a kid tournament, a youth competition, some of the best golfers in Augusta as well. And Anthony's from Evanston. Is your kid playing in it? Anthony, you with me?
This is the drive, pitch, and putt competition that I watch every year, and it is so – these kids are so good, and to be able to do that at Augusta is the coolest thing if you're –
Anthony, do I have you now?
Is that like the punt, pass, and kick?
Yes,
is that what it is?
It is, yeah, but it's drive, pitch, and putt.
How old are the kids? Does it matter?
I want to say they're like, I'm going to...
Hold on, Anthony, we got a phone problem.
8 to 14,
now I got you.
All right.
Now I got you, that was weird. Yeah, is your kid in the competition?
He is. He's in the competition. His name's Luciano, and he qualified in the age group of the boys 7 to 9.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Anthony, are you so excited? Oh, sorry.
More nervous than anything.
Sure.
I was a nervous wreck going through the whole thing, and he was nervous a little bit and calm most of the time, but I was the one pacing around in the background, watching him perform the entire time through the three qualifying stages.
Right, and you got to try to be the cool dad and just go, yeah, nice job, son, nice job. Are you a golfer?
I try to be. He certainly doesn't get the talent from me, that's for sure. I'm a halfway decent golfer, but he certainly has a natural talent at this. He started playing when he was 2.5 years old and just picked up a golf club and started swinging away.
So, yep. Anthony, I've seen videos of when kids get the letter that they are going. Was that a pretty cool moment?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was, I think, throughout the whole thing, when he actually, because we were up in Whistling Straits for the regional finals, and that whole moment there when he actually qualified at that moment in time, and then you already know that you're going, and then you get the letter in the mail, you know, and he's excited, but it's already a done deal, okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, so he doesn't get the magnitude of it because he's
when
it
final scores right off. He sat there, and there were four other kiddos that had to go
right,
waiting for the scores to come in to see if his would hold off, and it eventually did.
That's very cool. How far does a 7, 8, 9-year-old kid hit a drive?
Depends. Good day or bad day. Somewhere anywhere, I would say between 165 to 200 yards, I would say, somewhere in there.
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. What's the best part of the young man's game? Is he a good putter, or what does he do?
Well, he's sitting in the car right here. He's sitting in the back seat. He can tell you.
What's the best part of your game, dude? Are you a putter?
Putter.
Yeah.
There you go. Steady.
Can you hear him?
I did.
Oh, yeah. Luciano's a putter. I like it.
Super early for Luciano. He'd rather be going to get something to eat. And where are you guys headed today?
We're actually headed down to Greenville, South Carolina to stay over. And then first thing in the morning, we'll be heading down to Augusta on Friday morning.
It's unbelievable.
Got some practice set up and got some practice set up on Friday, and then they start on Saturday afternoon there, and they take you through the whole orientation process, meet all the other families, they do lunches and dinners, and then Sunday mornings the gates open up at 7 a.m. for the competition.
Unbelievable.
His time frame is between around 10:45 is the 7 to 9 year old boys, and the competition starts at 7:45 a.m. He goes off at about 10:45.
What a cool thing to share with your kid, and it's nice that you're bringing your dad along, because otherwise dads can't normally get into Augusta.
Right, he was my after all the years of putting my name on the waiting list and not happening, he ended up being my ticket in.
How about that? Good kid. Good kid. Congrats, Dad. That's a good story, man. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Very good. Good luck, Luciano.
Thank you.
All right, see you, buddy.
That's pretty cool.
That's a great story.
That's a cool name. That's a good golf name. So,
totally, Luciano.
Luciano Putter.
No, he's a good putter.
I thought his name was Putter.
No.
If he changed his last name to Putter, that would put a lot of pressure on him. He'd have to make everything.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, like, what his look is and what kind of bag he's carrying, but it's a lot of detail. I can take that off.
It's a lot of fashion.
Yeah.
6:31. We'll come back, get your headlines in a second at 720 WGN.
There's nowhere in the Barr report that says the president obstructed justice. There's nowhere in the Barr memo that says you or I obstructed justice. And remember,
there was no Barr report. Barr is simply summarizing.
Barr memo summarizing, but I think I...
Mueller says that it could not exonerate him.
Well, it said many things. And most importantly, it said that this president and his campaign did not commit a crime, that there was no conspiracy, no collusion, and people vomited collusion for two straight years and wasted taxpayer dollars and people's anxiety.
Can't we all just get along? The Chuck Toddcast, part of the Chuck Todd universe now. Chuck Todd on Ice coming soon. And the host of Meet the Press and MTP Daily, along with the Chuck Toddcast, joins us now. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mr. Cochran.
Welcome to a new baseball season.
Yeah, it feels like the end of the last season for the Nationals. Bullpen problems and managerial head scratchers. It's only game five.
Who is the manager now? I don't even know. David Martinez,
that was why he got the job, because he sat next to Joe Madden.
And that made him a genius?
Apparently. It's sort of the way it works in the NFL. If you, with the kid in... with the Rams, McKay, right?
Yeah,
McVay.
Yeah.
You have ever made him coffee,
yes,
you have a head coaching job in the NFL. I believe that was the chief qualifications for the Packers' new head coach, is that he once carried McVay's, you know, coffee for him.
That's the new hot thing in the NFL. Get yourself an NFL coach who's 22 or younger. The Packers have a coach who's like 11.
The Democratic Party is going to do the same thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Nominate their own millennial. Millennials are running the world, man.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we just got to hope they don't put us in camps or something.
You know what I caught this morning? I was on the way in, and I said to somebody, "You got to roll up the window." When's the last time we rolled up a window? It's been...
Roll up the window.
That? It's been 20 years.
A couple weeks ago, Geico was running their throwback ads.
Yeah.
Remember during the NCAA tournament, and there was the one with the collect call? And you're like, explain that to your kids. collect call.
What is that? All right, so listen, you were ahead of me.
Old guy radio is done for the day.
Yeah, exactly. Tell Tony. Mitch McConnell. You were on the Mitch McConnell we have no idea what he's doing train long before any of the rest of us were. Explain to folks what Mitch McConnell did yesterday.
With the judges?
Yeah.
What he did yesterday was, there's always a certain amount of debate that is for every presidential appointment, 30 hours of debate, even on low-level appointments. And one of the tricks that a minority in the Senate does is you make sure you take up all 30 hours, no matter how low-level the appointment is, because it's just slow-walking nomination. And obviously, with the judges' war that is going on between the two parties, McConnell is trying to Olay judges into office. And Democrats are trying to slow that process down. They've been having some success, but the Senate is already confirming judges. I think it's fastest clip pretty much ever, but it isn't fast enough for McConnell. So he got rid of the 30-hour rule, got it down to a 2-hour rule. I know I'm creating sort of complicated Senate rules, but the bottom line is it's just going to confirm lower level judges faster. the first level, the federal district level, and it is just going to literally think of a third base coach just winding his hand home. That is Mitch McConnell now when it comes to judges. He is just windmilling everybody into confirmation, and that's what he did. He cut it from 30 hours to 2 hours per nominee.
And this is the same guy who took 60 votes to a simple majority in the Senate and Supreme Court nominees and Senate approval.
Now, and it was his tactics that drove, that he used these same tactics that Schumer's using, and it's why Harry Reid then did what he did. The first time that we've done this, it is... The Senate rules are not in the Constitution. The United States Senate makes their own rules, so they can change the rules whenever they want. But the way they're doing it now, I think it has made the U.S. Senate less relevant. Not the right word, because they're obviously extraordinarily relevant. But the Senate had this ability to be, it's supposed to be the cooling saucer, to be the less partisan place. The House is the crazy people. Right, whether it's crazy lefties, crazy righties, whatever, and the Senate's supposed to be the place to calm that stuff down. What this is going to do is just make the Senate nothing more than a 100 version of the U.S. House.
And the idea that there's a legacy here for Mitch McConnell, or there's some great win here for Mitch McConnell, I mean, it just seems to be all about the win in the moment. Not what happens to America, not doing the right thing. It's all about I won, you lost.
McConnell is a long view. I mean, you may not agree with what he's doing, but actually, this is him taking the long view. He's sitting there going, if you have conservative judges, it will always be a way to keep government from getting too activist, too liberal, too fast, all of those things. So in some ways, you could make an argument that McConnell, you may disagree with him, he's making a long-term bet of essentially buying insurance policy to have as conservative a judiciary as he can have with Trump if he thinks, because I think what McConnell thinks is that Trump is going to destroy this version of the Republican Party at some point, that at some point the backlash is going to be massive in the other direction. And you could argue he's buying his insurance policy with these conservative judiciary.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, though, in the big picture is there's no reason to believe the Democrats, when they are in charge, won't do the same thing. And where does it end?
They are going to do the same thing. And what it ends is we're more polarized. We're more where it's going to be the tyranny of the majority. It's almost like when you get the majority, you've got to get your retribution as well. I think this attitude can change. It can, but, until the president set a tone. He has set this tone. And as long as that's the tone that's set, I think the two parties will essentially respond in kind. And that's what we have. If you have a different mindset at the top, you'll have, for the most part, different acting elected officials.
You've had a female African American mayor in D.C. It's the first time we have now in Chicago. By the way, she also happens to be a former prosecutor. You make a few enemies doing that, and the first openly gay mayor in Chicago. It's quite a change.
It is, and I think the most important thing is that this is the first time you feel as if it's a true anti-machine candidate. Perhaps,
yep.
Maybe anti. Maybe I'm being a little too naive there. In Chicago, everybody touches the machine somewhere, right? But the fact is, it was a blowout for a reason. I think that margin of victory should be a message to every alderman. And that margin of victory should be a message, frankly, to Mr. Madigan. There is a pent-up frustration at the perception, I think, going on, whether in Illinois politics, that it is sort of captive, that too many people go into it to enrich themselves. So to see how, frankly, easy that message was for Lightfoot to sell, I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that have benefited from the machine style of Democratic politics in Illinois and in Chicago. This could be a real wake-up call. Now let's see how she governs, right? The key, when you're an outsider and you've been brought in to change deep-seated, right, essentially drain Chicago's swamp, you also have to govern. And you're going to have to work with those people, too. And striking that balance without looking like you've become part of the machine is always the toughest part of taking over. But I'm very curious here because of how big she won. She has a mandate. I'll be curious to see how well she uses it.
The president's tax returns are going to be fodder for the next, who knows, weeks, months, because it's going to be a court fight before they're revealed. But is this the closest we've come to actually seeing his tax returns?
I guess so. I'm not convinced this is the best way to get them. And I'm not convinced this is a smart. This is a precedent that I don't know if Democrats want to be responsible for gaining. I mean, I think this is one of those things that could backlash. You know, I think there are people that don't trust this president, even people that support him that may not trust this president, that probably assume he does lie about so many things. But invading the privacy of an individual via their tax return, I just think that Democrats should take a lot of deep breaths. To use arcane parts of a law in order to justify the demand to see them, I just think this could back, you know, the public could respond in a much different way than Democrats think on this one when it comes to prying into something as personal as your tax return on that front. That's not to say they don't think government officials should release them. And, you know, I'm always under audit. He's yet to produce a single piece of evidence to prove he's under audit.
Right.
He has never produced any evidence that he's under audit. So again, I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm somehow defending the idea that he's not released his tax return. I'm just saying Democrats need to be careful how they go about to get them. I think if you use the levers of government to pry them out of his hands, that is something that is not going to sit well with some people, even people that don't like this president.
And then you have Mueller's team, a few, at least, we don't know how many, a few of his team stepping up and saying Attorney General Barr characterized this report that we spent 2 years on in a way that doesn't actually reflect the amount of concern we have about the president's actions. Is this something, nothing, or something we're in the middle?
So, Steve, are you shocked that there's gambling going on? This was the most predictable story. It was painfully obvious, and I'm sorry, I think a lot of my media colleagues, I didn't understand why, and the New York Times did this.
Yeah.
They wrote as fact that Barr's interpretation was the Mueller report. I understand when Sean Hannity does it. I didn't understand it when the New York Times and the Post did it. We didn't see it. It was so obvious to me that whatever version, that it was very likely when we didn't get a single complete sentence in Barr's summary of the Mueller report, that he was leaving out probably extraordinarily, shall we say, interesting phrases, terms of phrases, sentences, and things like that.
Right.
So this is about the most unshocking story, but this is a reminder of while Democrats have subpoena power in Congress, when you run the executive branch, you can do the slow roll. You can slow roll so many things. Barr is slow rolling this report. If we see the whole thing, and I'm somewhat skeptical we ever see the whole thing. You know, I've joked that it's sitting in New Mexico in the same warehouse as Indiana Jones had his ark,
right?
You know, in the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they just shove it, because you know if you actually stare at the ark, and if you stare at the Mueller report, it will melt your eyes.
Yes, it will.
That's what I hear. So I don't think we're going to see. I think we're going to see chunks of this report. I don't think we ever see the full report because the executive branch can slow roll. And by the way, that's what's going to happen with these tax returns. The executive branch can slow roll. That's what's going to happen with a lot of these things. So, yes, Democrats have subpoena power, but the executive branch can slow roll and force court fights and make the Democrats look like that all they care about is getting him. And you know what it does in the next 6 months? Is it takes Democrats off message. So this is what I promise you. This is the Trump administration strategy for everything Congress is asking for. Give as little as possible, delay as much as possible, and you know, don't produce anything until you absolutely have to do it and perhaps forced to do it by a court of law.
Congratulations on the awards and accolades and high fives coming in on the climate change special. You guys did it. Meet the Press.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Thank you. That was that was nice to get. You had something with Cronkite's name on it. You think, oh, that's pretty cool.
Not so bad. All right.
I'll admit that. Yeah, exactly.
I'll see you when the Nationals play. I'll come to Washington and I'll be throwing out the first pitch. So you'll see me there.
Is that right? Well, bring it on, man. We'd like to see that.
Chuck Todd. And don't forget the Chuck Todd cast and the MTP Daily today at 4 Chicago time. Thanks, man.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
6:59, musical director John DeCoste is also a big-time game show host. And a brand-new John DeCoste game, Sweeping the Nation. I don't say that about just any game. This one is Sweeping the Nation.
Actually, you say that about every game.
Well, this one, I mean it. This is called John DeCoste Fact or Fiction. So he'll have real facts and fake facts, and you have to decide if they're real facts or fake facts.
Dave, when I asked what game he was playing today, and he said Fact or Fiction, and then he said, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave his endorsement.
And he's always understated about that.
He got up at 2 a.m. to write some of the fake facts and call the real facts. And I'm telling you, the fake facts and the real facts, it's going to be tough for you to win this game. And you know how tough I am on the listeners. I just wake up, John.
Sorry.
It's almost time for the game. So we'll play that coming up. Also in the 7 o'clock hour, in just a couple of minutes here. On the Steve Cochran Show, a really cool, most valuable person on the planet story I just became aware of yesterday about a woman and a little baby, and you're going to want to hear that. We'll come back to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and Steve Grzanich next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Who is this, Super Joe?
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin. I was in this band. Remember?
You weren't.
I wasn't? No, I wasn't in this band.
That's one of the few Led Zeppelin songs I actually like.
You remember what this song's called?
No.
It's either Black Dog or Stairway to Heaven.
What is it, Mary?
I don't remember what it's called
I
either.
Thought you know this.
I know the words.
Stop.
Fool
in the Rain.
Hey.
Oh, Fool in the Rain.
That's like my theme song game show.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, speaking of John, it's time to play a brand new game on the Steve Cochran Show, Sweeping the Nation. It's called
Factor Fiction.
Factor Fiction. John's going to have fake facts and real facts, and the listeners at 312-981-7200 to win. All they have to do is decide if the fact you're spewing is real or fake.
And I think each listener should get two.
Two facts?
Two facts.
Two facts, real or fake. You simply have to get them both right. 312-981-7200 is the number. We'll line up some callers. Can you give us a test, fake or real fact?
Sure. The Nintendo gaming system from the 80s had twice the computing power of the first lunar landing.
The Nintendo gaming system. We know that the phone we carry around now is a stronger computer than the computer that sent the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. So I would say the answer to that is no. That is not a real fact. Dave, do you agree?
I agree with you.
Good. Samberg, do you agree?
I don't agree.
Oh, really? Okay, fine. Vandeville, do you agree?
I have no clue.
All right, so we've got two agrees.
I'm just glad I don't have to spell
one
anymore.
I don't agree, and one no clue. Dave and I are saying that's not a real fact.
Yes, and you and Dave are absolutely wrong.
Oh, it is a real fact.
I agreed with Mary.
You changed your answer and just forgot to say it out loud?
Yeah. I would have agreed with Mary, too, had I been out.
Thank you. I would go with me as well.
Let's go to Patty in Brookfield and have her play John DeCoste's brand new game, Fact or Fiction.
Good morning, Patty.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your questions?
Yes.
Here we go. The United States is older than Germany.
Oh, this is tough, because I know some old Germans.
Older than fiction.
Fiction.
No.
Fiction. It's
I'm
a fact?
Sorry, that's a fact.
Oh, Patty.
Yes, it was Germania before 1871.
Oh, Patty.
Yeah.
Patty.
I'm sorry.
Give her one more chance.
She gets a second shot. Okay. The lifespan of the common housefly is 24 to 48 hours.
Ew.
Is that true?
Well, we're asking Patty.
I've heard that.
See if I can catch him.
I've heard it, but I'm not exactly sure.
Would you like a lifeline? You want to ask any of the scientists here on the show?
Oh, yes, please.
Let's go to Grzanich on this. Grzanich, house fly, 24 to 48 hour lifespan?
I'm going to say that that is false because I've seen flies live for an entire winter before.
How do you know it's the same fly?
It could be. Well, I just, when you don't see many flies in
your
house.
You tag your flies, right? I mean, you tag them.
Little collars
get a little
on them.
Ear
I
tag
put little
on
collars
them.
On them.
Shoot them with a trank.
All right. Can we ask Jeff Goldblum? Can we ask him?
Oh, Jeff Goldblum. Maybe you have Jeff Goldblum in your house, Steve. All right, so Patty, you don't know. Steve says no, it's fiction.
I'll say fiction.
That is correct.
No, yeah. It's wrong. Ah.
Yes, a housefly lives about a month, though, not a whole winter. Yeah.
And they vomit every time they land.
Oh. Is that true?
Yes, the flies are disgusting.
What do you mean they vomit when they land?
They vomit, don't they, Grzanich?
I think that's from the movie.
If
that's
you put
how
the microphone
eat.
Up close to them, they say, help me, help me.
Right.
Help me. Wait, hold on. Every time a housefly lands, it throws up?
And it lands on you
it
all does. The time.
That's how it eats. It actually regurgitates and then sucks it back in.
Can we change the topic?
Oh, man.
But hold on. All right, Patty, you're a winner. What did Patty win?
Patty is going to get a MyPillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Order yours at MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's an awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Patty, hold on. Let's go to Fred in Montgomery. You know, if the houseflies are throwing up that much, they shouldn't fly. I mean, if it's that traumatic to them. All right, fact or fiction? Fred, here's your fact or fiction.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Because flies can't chew, they have to throw up enzymes onto your food, which dissolves the food so they can slurp it up. So, in other words, when they land on your burger and want a bite, they puke on it.
By the way, there's bagels out in the... I brought bagels.
Did you bring some plain ones? Is it plain?
So the idea would be, if a fly lands on your food, throw it out immediately.
Yeah. Why don't they take Pepto-Bismol?
There is no five-second rule for flies. No. All right, go ahead.
Okay, in 1931, President Calvin Coolidge refused to sign the pardon for husband and wife Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, who were given life imprisonment for kidnapping the Lindbergh baby.
Hmm. I think I know this one, Fred.
Oh, I am going to have to go to a lifeline.
I got your back, Fred. This is fact.
Oh, okay, I'm going to go with fact.
It's fact.
God, what? Everything about my statement was wrong.
Yes.
What?
Calvin Coolidge wasn't president in 1931.
What?
Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were actually put to death in the 50s for communism.
Oh, so you just borrowed from other scandals.
I just made up the whole thing.
I think that's worthy of another buzzer noise.
Yeah. Wow. But that buzzer's for Steve, because Steve is sitting here
I was cocky.
So confident.
I was seriously cocky.
I was shocked.
Like,
I
mean,
that's why I went with it.
I know.
Good for you. Not your fault.
This is just like school. I only half listened. All right. Give him another one.
Okay, here you go. The largest Air Force in the world.
We should call this game Second Chance. Give him another one.
I know. The largest Air Force in the world is our very own U.S. Air Force. The second largest Air Force in the world is our own U.S. Navy.
Oh, that's an interesting question, of which I really thought I had the answer, and now I have no confidence whatsoever. Fred, if you need help on this one, I'd go to Dave. Dave was a Navy veteran. He was in the Navy for 25 years.
I'm going to say those naval pilots are very good looking, so if that helps anyone.
I think, you know what, I think I'm going to just go with my instinct. I'm going to say that... yes, that the American Air Force is the largest Air Force.
Did you hear
Navy
the question?
Is second.
The second, yeah. Air Force is the number one, but is the second largest the U.S. Navy?
Is the second largest Air Force the U.S. Navy? You know, China's.
I am going to agree with that as well.
Yep. So you're saying it's fact.
Yep.
That is a fact.
Wow!
That is a fact. Way to go,
Fred! Thank God you didn't listen to me.
Fred,
so good, Fred.
You notice how he was so quick to not go to me as a lifeline? Thanks, Fred.
Especially 25 years in the service. You think he'd give you a shot.
Fred is going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and order online at loumalnati's.com. They are dropping pizza here off tomorrow. So Steve Grzanich is going to get it all because the rest of us are going to be at guaranteed rate for opening day.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be there today.
Well, he can split it with me because I think I'll be here too.
There you go. Fred, hold the line. Let's do one more quickly. Terry in Arlington Heights. John?
Good morning, hello. Terry. Here you go. Most pirates wore eye patches so they could see in the dark.
Ahoy.
Why would I wear an eye patch if I wanted to see?
I've watched Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm going to say
There's no question.
No, they use it to look out their periscope or without the monocle or whatever they were looking through. Give them a better eyeball on that.
I'm giving this guy a pass.
That is a.
But
that is
nobody asked a question yet.
Well, no, he did. He brought up the pirates.
No, he did.
Most pirates wear eye patches so they can... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
All you did was read the first half.
Is it true that most pirates wear... I'm sorry, Alex. Sorry. Is it true most pirates wear eye patches so they can see in the dark? And what you said,
and he
no,
says
correct?
No.
You want to... So they can see through their...
Right.
Out of their... whatever. It was. It's not a periscope, obviously, but it's
right.
A...
The telescope. I don't have a friggin' clue.
Actually, you are wrong. Most eye patches were worn because it was so dark underneath, below deck, that they would take that patch off and they would their eye would not have to adjust. That's a fact.
But why were they wearing patches in the first place?
Some had eye problems.
Who conducted this audit? Who did this study?
Yeah, you know
okay,
what? And
this
here's
guy
the other
gets
thing.
Nothing.
Here's the other thing, Terry. It's not like John was a pirate. He wasn't there then. He doesn't know. This is the new world we live in, where we question everything.
I know no one that is a real pirate.
All right, one more. Give him one more.
Okay, here you go, Terry.
This game is called Second Chance.
I hope this is related to Pirates of the Caribbean, too.
That's okay. The average pencil has the potential to draw a line 38 to 40 miles long.
When
sharpened. The average pencil has the potential to draw a line 38 to 40 miles long.
What if you get like 8 miles in and you realize you forgot your sharpener?
Are you talking about a number two or a number three? I mean, what's an average pencil?
A two. Two would be an average.
I'm saying fact.
Fact.
That's true. That's a fact.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
All right.
Way to go.
So if I started in downtown Chicago, I could draw a pencil, and I'm going to do this, by the way. I could go out the Eisenhower, down 88, all the way to Route 59?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, who the heck really did that?
So you're going to get an apt gift card, Pleasing People Since 1936. Visit the store in Glenview or online at abt.com.
Fred, Patty, Terry, congratulations. You've all played Second Chance, Fact or Fiction. Woo! We'll come back and do more of this dumb stuff later. John, are you available later?
I think so, I got my eye patch. I can't
you got a thing?
See,
yeah. A very cool, most valuable person on the planet coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
/7:26. I just read about this story literally yesterday. And it just, it just touches your heart. A nurse at a hospital... comes across a little baby who has had no visitors over the course of the time the baby's been in the hospital. Turns out the baby was born to a drug abusive mother, and she took time, her own time, to go and sit with the baby and
for
try
5 months.
For 5 months.
5 months.
And she would go and sit with the baby and talk to the baby and try to at least give the baby some comfort. No visitors for a little baby, a brand new baby. For 5 months. Well, you could probably see where the story is going, but Liz joins us now. You are the most valuable person on the planet.
I don't believe that.
I wanted to come give you a hug after I read this story. What a cool thing this is.
I appreciate that.
Now, what part of the world are you in?
We are in Massachusetts. We are from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Okay. That's just outside of Boston, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's the deal. You notice this baby and you ask about it, and then you find out the baby's had no visitors. When you would go in and see this little baby, you gradually found out the backstory, or how did you get the information that the baby was a ward of the state?
Well, because of my position at the hospital, I was new to covering the inpatient medical unit, so I was just starting to get to know the patient. And a few nurses actually approached me and said, "You need to meet Giselle. She's needs a foster home, and you're the perfect match." So that they actually encouraged me to meet her, and I actually put it in the back of my mind until literally one day she crossed my path, and that's when I asked, "Who's this?" And they said, "This is Giselle." And after that day, I went to see her every day, and within 3 weeks, we were pulling out of the parking lot and starting our journey together.
It's amazing. And you are called the world's greatest aunt in this story. Now, my daughter would have a problem with that. She considers herself to be the world's greatest aunt, and I tend to agree. But you could be second. But you didn't have any kids of your own at this point.
I didn't. And I actually had just come off of trying a few rounds of IUI, and, you know, being in my 40s, my labs changed quickly, and that door closed suddenly, and I was devastated. And you know, people like my sister approached me and said, "What about adoption?" I said, "No, I have plenty of kids around me. I wasn't meant to be," not realizing how devastating I was. And it's just so hard to let go of that natural instinct.
Sure.
And literally, that's when 2 weeks later, again, Giselle passed me by in a stroller, and that was it. So you can't deny fate in this situation, and you can hear her in the background.
Now, Liz, she sounds so adorable, and how you described seeing her the first time with a little curl swooping across her forehead, yes. And you just melted. Now, there's... The reality is you start fostering her, but there's no guarantee. You know, there any part where you were like, oh, God, I'm in love with her and I'm her mom and
yes.
I may not know?
Yes, it was, you know, there's so much unknown to it. And I remember you have to be realistic about it and you understand the process, but you can't love her. I could love her 80%. And I remember walking by the mirror one night and I just caught a glimpse of the two of us together and I imagine them coming to pick her up, and I was nauseous. I couldn't even imagine. But at the same time, you kind of had to balance and keep that in the back of your mind. But again, I didn't want to do anything but give her 150% of my love at that point.
And there's interesting closure to this. As I understand the story, at least a mom, if not both mother and father, visited, and it just became clear to the courts and the system that they weren't up to parenting, right?
Yes, and they, you know, they tried their best, and unfortunately, you know, the battle of addiction is something that I can't imagine trying to overcome, and over time, I think they also recognized that this was the best outcome for her, and they supported me, and they let it go.
And so how is Giselle doing health-wise? Because she had a few issues when she was born.
She did. She's doing well, so she still gets the majority of her nutrition through a feeding tube, but other than that, she's thriving. She has exceeded all of her other developmental goals. She's social, singing, happy, and she was discharged from early intervention after 6 months, with the exception of her feeding.
That's amazing.
Well, and she's loved, and the prognosis, I understand, is good.
Yeah, so there's a lot of unknown with the NAS population, but to date, she's doing incredible, and all the specialists are so impressed with her, and you know, to take her home when she was barely sitting up, to see her running around 6 months later just demonstrates the power of a big, loving family and a lot of structure.
Yeah,
so.
It's really great. It's really great. It's a wonderful story. And
thank you.
We're all proud of you. We don't know you other than the last three minutes, but we're all proud of you, and I can imagine the sort of impact you've gotten.
The lucky one in this situation. So I appreciate all of the interest in sharing our story, because there's so many people, you know, that if we could inspire to do the same, there's so many kids that need a foster and adopted home out there.
You are completely right about that. And my son and daughter-in-law fostered, and just couldn't encourage it more. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We're going to send you something. Hold the line, if you would. You're the most valuable person on the planet, Liz.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having us.
And tell Giselle we said hi.
I will, for sure. Thank you very much.
That little rock star. You got to see a picture of her.
I know. The picture of them together, it's like mother and daughter. It's adorable.
What's the life supposed to be?
For our listeners right now, we're going to give away a family pack of four tickets to see the White Sox play the Seattle Mariners this home opening weekend on Saturday, April 6th.
So is the game 2 days from now?
Yep.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So if you want to be the seventh caller, you can win those for Saturday. Saturday is supposed to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
See the Sox play Seattle Mariners. So.
Yeah, like 70 degrees or something Saturday?
Yeah, right? No. That's why you're going out of town to somewhere warm, because it's going to be so bad here.
I'm going to be in Charleston, South Carolina this weekend, and it's supposed to be 70 degrees in Charleston. But it's a different kind of 70. Yeah. We'll come back with the headlines next at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Text question today is, what things do you say that make you absolutely sound old? Started when I said roll up the window this morning. Roll up the window? What happened to me? I used to be the hippest guy in America. Look at me now.
My kids make fun of me because I say, oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I got a few more for you.
And I say, geez, Louise.
See, there you go.
Yeah, a lot of times I say, the British are coming.
That'll make you sound old. There's no question.
That's bad.
What's the alternative to roll the window up?
Open the window.
Put the window up or open the window.
Close the window. Maybe.
Hey, Steve, can you dial a number for me?
You dial a number. Dial your number. That's another one.
But you see, the texter had a good point on that one. When some phones, when you actually start doing that, it says dialing number.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Tape it, yeah. As opposed to DVR it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I taped it.
I use the word record.
Snap the picture. Vanderbilt brought that up.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we used to have cameras where you would snap the picture.
Would Turn the Channel be one of those as well?
Yes.
Now we changed the channel.
Or you call the remote the clicker?
Oh, I always
clicker?
Say oh my turn God. The channel. Wait, the what is... Clicker. I don't understand the turn the channel reference.
So the old TVs used to have a thing that you would actually turn, a dial that would go from two...
Yeah, and it would click when you turn it.
It was super, super stiff. So you click it and it go... Click, click,
and click. You only had four channels, so...
And if you broke it, you would get a wrench and hip it on there.
That's right.
And
a coat hanger on the antenna for the rabbit ears.
And then you had to change it between UHF and VHF to get to 32.
That's right.
And 44.
6-3-0 texter. I'm 51 years old. My grandparents would say, get off the Davenport. He said, I found out a Davenport is a couch.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, they didn't go with any of the other Quad Cities. You know what I mean? Why Davenport?
And I lived in Davenport on Davenport Avenue.
See, it must have been a great couch store there.
So you were homeless?
309, my husband says he's going to run the sweeper when he's going to vacuum.
Oh, man. That's turn of the century talk.
Hey, Steve, the Davenport was the name of a series of sofas made by the Massachusetts furniture manufacturer A.H. Davenport and Company, now defunct. Due to the popularity of the furniture at the time, the name Davenport became
a thing.
Like a generic,
term. That was a thing.
And those were the ones that opened up into a bed.
That's
because my dad slept on one most of his childhood. He'd go, we had to open the Davenport to get to sleep. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That would be like Coke means all cola products, Kleenex means all tissues, Davenport for a while meant all sofas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Pull out beds. Yeah.
Let's see. 773. You're old when you call spring break cleanup week. 815. Calling your parents or the older generation folks. I'd also say, this happened. I don't know if Ross did this. Somebody younger did this. Referred to women as or a woman as she's a great gal.
Gal.
So what are you, a cowboy? What are you, great gal? And this was somebody that was younger. Gals, I think, makes you sound.
Yeah,
older.
That's an older term. Maybe it's trendy to be. It's like vintage to call them.
I have complimented
dolls,
my wife Jackie
like
on her gams.
Nice gams. Hey, nice gams, baby.
That sounds like Dave Ennett's baseball voice.
773. My teenage daughter's into vinyl. Records are hip again. She found my old laser disc collection, tried to play Grease on her regular record player. Didn't work. She said it's too old to work.
You know what? You need a Victrola.
Oh, a Victrola.
Yeah.
Remember the Victrola?
I remember in school, the teacher would say, we would have our music class. It was part of the day in school. And she would say, we'll put a record on the Victrola.
Well, Jackie's mom said, can you make a mimeograph of this?
Oh, yeah.
Copy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 815, when I was working with a younger coworker, I said, Billfold. He looked at me like I was from another planet.
Billfold.
It's also, that's a wallet, right?
Also known as a wallet.
But I've still used that. Am I old?
Yeah, oh, you're way old.
Well, you know what I get into trouble with? Thongs and flip-flops. Yeah, because I still call flip-flops thongs once in a while.
A thong is actually higher.
I know it is now, but back in the day, thongs were shoes.
How about get the milk out of the icebox?
Oh, yeah.
It used to be a box.
Used to be a box
that sat on a block of ice, right?
And people used to drink milk.
Well, no, I think the milk thing probably is not the important part of that thing.
What?
And pants are not called slacks. Not in this country. If you're wearing slacks, you're an old guy.
I always remember my father, this story, my father, first time he went out to a swimming pool with my mother, said, make sure you bring your trunks. She told that story forever.
Okay, 312-917-200. The other way to tell if you're old is to say, look at your face. That's another way to tell if you're old. But things you say that make you sound old.
Hey, Steve, you know what I'm going to give away? A family pack of four tickets to see the White Sox play the Seattle Mariners this home weekend, Saturday.
Wait, didn't you just do that?
I did. I'm giving them another four pack.
What are you, crazy?
Saturday's game. It's going to be beautiful. Seattle Mariners.
All right, 312-917-200.
Seventh caller.
John, when we come back from that, we'll get the winner for the White Sox tickets, but we'll also play another round of Fact or
Fiction.
You
got it. I'm ready.
The little baby story we did for Most Valuable Person on the Planet, and, you know, Ross and Lauren are having a little baby boy in August. The top 100 baby names for 2019 are out. I don't know how they know already, but they're out. The number one girl's name? Posey.
Posey?
Really?
Posey?
Posey?
Like yeah, a flower. Posey. Yeah, Posey.
I don't know anybody with a kid named Posey.
Well, it's going to be very hip this year.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting Posey for your grandson?
These are girls.
Oh.
Yes. Number two is Isla, or ISLA.
Yeah. Isla. Oh.
Yeah.
Christy's daughter. Christy Vicari's daughter's name, Isla.
Is it?
I love the name
Isla. Yeah, well, we
it's
love Christy.
Name. Yeah.
Three is Olivia. Four is Aurora. Five is Maeve. Six is Cora.
I know.
Seven
half
is
the kids,
Carol Stream, I think.
Half the kids, half the people I went to high school with have a daughter named Maeve.
There's lots of Maeves.
Lots of
Maeves.
Yeah, I went to school with a lot of Irish.
Doesn't Pat
people.
Brady have a
he
daughter named
His oldest daughter is Maeve, yeah.
Is that short for anything?
Yeah, sure.
Mavis?
Maybe.
No, it's
Maeve. No, it's just Maeve.
Old Maeve?
M-A-I-V-E.
Stop it. Old Maeve.
Number seven is Amara. A-M-A-R-A.
I'll see you, Amara.
excuse me? Amara.
Come back, Amara.
Number eight's Ada. Number nine's Amelia. Number 10 is Charlotte.
How come the majority of them ended in A? Did you notice that?
I did not. I'll tell you one I've never seen before. Number 19, E-L-O-D-I-E.
Elodie. Elodie? Or how do you say that, Mary?
I have no idea.
It's a popular name. I'm not. I only see it typed on Facebook, though, so I never hear anyone.
Elodie? Like Melody? But
yeah, I think it's Elodie. I think so. Somebody probably can call him.
Don't like it.
I miss the good old days when...
Well, don't say you don't like it.
I
it
don't.
Might be... If you picture a cute little chubby baby with some curly hair, and look a little...
Hey, Elodie.
We know an Elodie.
Elodie,
if you call him Elodie.
Oh, your friends
Ella.
In California?
Yeah. We have an Elodie.
Yeah. We'll show you a cute picture of a kid, and then you'll like the name.
Do parents name their kids Edith and Ethel anymore?
Not so much.
My mom and my aunt are
Bertha.
Edith and Ethel.
No, but I know a Harriet. Remember Rob Hart? His daughter's named Harriet.
37's Maya.
Name.
40 is Esme. E-S-M-E. Clara. Clara, there's a Clara. Clara! Give me Andy. At 46, Phoebe's at 50. All right, here are the boys' names. Number one is Milo. Number two is Jasper. Number three is Atticus. Number four is Theodore. Number five is Asher. Number six is Silas.
These are just in the Amish community.
I know a Milo.
It does sound Amish, doesn't
it's
it?
It's all Amish. Yeah. Silas, Atticus.
Sounds like these boys are going to have to throw up a barn. Number seven is Jack. Number eight is Finn. Number nine is Henry. Number ten is Felix.
Felix?
Wow.
I mean, there's some in there that are like Ted and Jack.
Yeah.
Sound... Like classics. Could
classic
it come
name.
From our era?
12, Wyatt.
I know a lot of Wyatts.
Yeah. 17, Bodie.
Yep.
He just signed.
Like, he just signed a 5-year extension.
Does 23 is Soren. Does anybody what?
No, anybody named that's a baby named Steve anymore?
Well, my Steve? Son, but he's kind of old.
No, a
now.
Baby, though.
Steve used to be the top name for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when I was.
Not anymore. Not anymore. We're done. Eli at 25, Jude at 29. Hey, Jude.
Wow.
Cassius at 30.
But that'll change.
To Muhammad.
Yes.
Nice setup.
Dave and I are working really well today. I'm telling you, this is good.
33 is Otis. Yeah, I mean, if your name's Otis, you're always going to have elevator work.
That's a dog's name, isn't it?
You'll be drunk. You'll be the town drunk.
And you notice how everybody's naming their dogs, you know, names now? Like, I was yesterday, there was a dog walking the street. A little kid came up and petted it. And he said, oh, this dog's name is Tom.
It's funny, Mary. The fabulous lady that colors my hair, they had Lucy and Ethel were the two dogs. And then they just got a mastiff named Kevin.
That's so funny.
Lucy and Ethel, classic Kevin. Sitcom. Why Kevin?
I don't know. Where's Kevin? And they have four kids.
So they can go, Kevin!
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right.
Right.
39 is Declan. You know, Patty Vasquez has a little boy named Declan.
Yeah, I love that
I've
name.
Heard a lot of Declans.
46 is Kai. 48 is Elijah. And number 50 is August, just to jump around a little bit. So if you were having a kid this year, those are your hip kid names.
And just so you know, that August, I have a nephew named August, and it's Augie. That's what he
well, that's
what
be short, right?
Yep.
For Elodie, what would the short of Elodie be? Lo?
No,
Elo?
Say it, Dave. It's Elodie.
Ella.
Elodie.
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 312-981-7200. Superdrill will tell me the winner of the White Sox tickets. When we come back, we want to play Fact or Fiction, starring game show host John DeCoste in just a moment. 312-981-7200. Everybody's talking about the hot new game show sweeping the nation. It's John DeCoste's Fact or Fiction. John, we have no time here. Let's get to Donna quickly. Donna!
Yes, good morning.
Fact or Fiction, Donna, go!
Here you go, Donna. Every year, vending machines kill four times as many people than sharks.
I think that's true, Donna. You didn't ask, okay. But I think that's true.
Let's go with true.
That's a fact.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
That
you know why? Fact. No, I used to be a shark.
Does it kill people because they snack too much and they die of obesity?
No, you know what happens? Is like the wire deals where you get the M&M stuck. You start rocking the machine back and forth and they fall on you.
It's true.
That's I'm not laughing if people. You've lost somebody to a vending machine accident.
Well, that's kind of funny. Remember my rule, don't die stupid. Okay. What did she win?
She is going to win MyPillow, guarantee the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Order yours at MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN.
All right, Donna, thank you for listening. More Fact or Fiction coming up, and Steve's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next. Just trying to figure out how a giant vending machine could fall on you, even if you're rocking it. Because if you're rocking it that hard, you know, wouldn't you have some indication it's coming towards you? Unless you fall.
Yeah. Percentage of people, though, also cut their wrists trying to reach in, and they slice their wrists, and they can't get help before they bleed to death.
That's a bad way to get your M&Ms.
I know. Yeah. I know. I just hope they got their Lay's potato chips or their peanut butter crackers.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
All right, we take a break from more on entertainment. Dean is, where's Dean? I don't know. Is he on the way back from New York this morning?
No, because he's off tomorrow, too, so I don't know what he's. Maybe he stayed there to do continue
Did
dinosaur.
He go out on Long Island? Oh, maybe one of the dinosaurs ate him.
Yeah, that could be. Or maybe maybe a vending machine fell on him.
Well, for you folks that watch ET Live, the lovely and talented Cassie DeLora is standing by the phone. She got up early for us, which is very nice. I don't know how I'm going to pay you back, Cassie.
No payment needed. I'm happy to join you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. We're big fans of the show, big fans of you. The other people on the show, not so much, but you we like.
Oh, gosh, what a compliment to start my morning. But I will say I work with an incredible team and gotta love everybody.
How'd you get in this business?
You know, I actually worked in Chicago for a quick minute, but I got started in entertainment. I won a sweepstakes, I kid you not, from MTV back when I was 15 years old. And they flew me out to California from Detroit. And I was at this party with the Kardashians and some other people. And I was like, oh, I have to be in entertainment. And that led into journalism. And here I am on ET Live now. I'm joining you guys.
That's so cool. Won a sweepstakes. I mean...
So you win a contest, yeah. You end up at a party with the Kardashians.
Right.
You get fired up, you go into journalism, and eventually you get into entertainment journalism, you're on ET. That's a good story.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Trying to make my small town in Michigan proud.
We have a lot of listeners in Michigan. What town are you from?
Clinton Township, so Macomb, Michigan.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, outside of Detroit.
Yes.
Are you a Tigers fan?
I am a Tigers fan. My brother is a college baseball coach, so I grew up on a baseball field and a big baseball fan.
So, like when you talk to your brother on the phone, however often that might be, and he wants to talk Tigers, do you feel pressure? Like you need to bone up on what they did last night?
No, not so much, because he doesn't really talk about the Tigers. He talks about his team, TCU, and he calls my dad for the chit chat about the baseball, and he still doesn't understand really what I do. So I try to talk about entertainment. He tries to talk about baseball. It's a little weird.
The thing about doing what you do is, you know, if you love the business, you can't really get starstruck. You got to be cool around people that are super famous, and mostly the biggest stars are very nice. Sometimes the handlers are the problem. But have you gotten starstruck by somebody and looked like a goof?
You know, I will say I've tried to keep it calm, cool, and collected. But I may have flubbed a couple words around Dolly Parton. I'm a big country music fan, and I had a chance to interview her recently when she was being honored right before the Grammys. And that was probably one of my favorite interviews, one I was most nervous for. But she was so sweet, so generous with her time, and definitely an interview to remember. Yeah, but okay. I haven't had a horror story yet, I will say. But don't jinx me.
No, I can tell you, I had a similar experience with Dolly Parton. This is 25 years ago, and she was in Minneapolis, and interviewing her in her hotel suite, and she goes, come on in here. We sat on the end of her bed, and then she goes, you seem a little nervous. Here, hold my hand. So I'm holding her hand while I'm talking to her, and I'm taping the thing, and, you know, I mean, it's the end of Dolly Parton's bed, for crying out loud.
Oh, so. My. Well, what a story that you have. Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, she didn't call me after that, and I felt like I'd been used.
Okay.
Dolly. All right, biggest story in Hollywood today is what?
Biggest story is actresses Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman had their preliminary hearing in Boston yesterday for, of course, their alleged involvement in the college admissions scandal. So basically, they met in a courtroom in Boston with the judges to basically be read their charges. They have not entered pleas yet, but the judge read them their charges, asked them if they understood, and they all replied yes. And one thing that was very surprising, I will say, is that the judge changed one condition that she had imposed on the actresses before. She said that she would allow them to talk about the case with their children and immediate family members now.
So we've seen a lot of legal experts in the last 24 hours that say they're going to jail.
You know, these are very serious charges against them, mail fraud and honest services fraud, and these charges could carry, you know, a potential maximum sentence of 5 years. Will they see jail time? I'm not a legal expert, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got anywhere from, you know, a minimum of 2 years.
So, Cassie, they are or they aren't allowed to talk about the case with their family and kids?
They are.
They are now?
Before, yes. Back when they were charged in March, that was one of the conditions, in addition to, you know, turning over their passports and things like that. Okay. But now the judge changed her mind. Obviously, you know, Lori's children being allegedly involved in this, you know, now Lori can talk about it with the family.
Okay, that'd be so weird. To not be able to.
Her husband, Lori's husband, fashion designer Massimo Giannulli, he's also charged as well. Whereas, like, you have a case like Felicity where her husband is not charged, but I would imagine she would still want to talk to her husband or her family about this, and now she can.
Yeah, I mean, Felicity Huffman and her husband, I mean, one of the great Hollywood marriages, you know, and now mm-hmm. this. And, you know, Aunt Becky. I mean, you never thought Aunt Becky would do anything wrong. By the way, looking very stylish as she went into court yesterday.
She did look good. It was weird, though, that she was signing autographs. I thought that was, like, odd.
Mm-hmm. She was signing autographs. There were people taking pictures. And what I had to do a double take on was there were a few girls who were holding up signs that asked Lori to pay their college tuition.
Oh, that's not good.
And then the next sign, though, said, after prison, of course. And I was like, oh, my God, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been to Wrigley Field here, but Hillary Clinton, when she was in town to throw out the first pitch a few years ago, she was greeted with a couple of women who held up a sign that said, I slept with your husband, too.
Oh, geez.
Isn't that nice?
My gosh. At the end of the day, we got to keep in mind these are human beings as well.
Yeah. So are they? I mean, their careers are done, right? I mean, what do they do?
So Lori, I mean, obviously both of them are actresses. Lori was on a very famous Hallmark show called When Calls the Heart. And right after the charges came against her, Hallmark did drop her. So she is not a part of the Crown Media family anymore. And we don't really know what is up with Felicity at the moment, if she had any current projects that she's been dropped from. But a lot of the ramifications, the consequences have really been high for Lori and her family. Obviously, her daughter, Olivia Jade, is a YouTuber and influencer, and she was dropped from her partnerships with Sephora and Tresemme. So there have been a lot of ramifications that we've seen from this.
Yeah, you know, I guess, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the kids that lost a slot at the schools, because that's what this is all
100%.
About. You know, 100%, right? But this Olivia Jade kid, I don't know how much she knew, and she did have a career. I mean, she had a huge career.
Yeah, she made a lot of money.
And the idea that she would go to college and see the bigger world, I mean, I get why her parents wanted to do it, but the scam, was she a part of the scam? Do we honestly know if she was in on it or not?
You know, the original indictment was countless pages long, and, you know, our team at ET had combed through it, and I was very surprised that the daughters were not mentioned in it. Obviously, the charges against Lori are for allegedly bribing, making bribes that totaled, you know, $500,000 to have the two daughters designated as recruits on the rowing team, even though they never played the sport. So that's where you question, well, when you sign on to be a recruit, you know, don't you have to sign papers? Don't you think it's a little odd that you're signing on to be a part of a team?
Yeah, Mom, I haven't gotten in a boat yet. I think I'm okay.
So it's a little weird. I'm not, you know, obviously in the next steps of this trial, we're unsure of what they are just yet. But, you know, I would imagine maybe family members being called to the stand.
Yeah, and she's 19, not 9. So, you know, I guess I get it.
Right.
Britney Spears okay?
Britney Spears is good. She's taking some me time, our sources are telling ET. She is currently in a facility taking time to care for herself. She's been under a tremendous amount of stress over her father, Jamie Spears. He has been battling health issues with his colon recently. At the end of last year, he was hospitalized after his colon ruptured, and that's when we saw Britney put her album on hold, put her Vegas residency on hold, but now she's in a facility working on herself. She took to Instagram yesterday saying we all need to take time for a little me time, and she posted this quote that said, fall in love with taking care of yourself, mind, body, spirit. And obviously we have to commend her for you know, being public about that, because a lot of people still have there's a lot of stigma around, you know, therapy or seeking treatment for mental health, but it's very important. And, you know, a lot of people we're seeing are commending her, including her current boyfriend, Sam Asghari. He posted on Instagram that this is a sign of absolute strength.
Yep,
people
totally
should
agree.
Only be inspired by this. And even Britney's ex-husband, Kevin Federline, he's showing his support for Britney. And his lawyer told ET, his attorney told ET that he commends Britney for recognizing that she needs to take a step back. And she is taking the reasonable steps to dealing with her situation in a responsible way. And I 100% agree. Obviously, Britney and Kevin share two sons together. And Britney's sister, Jamie, took to Instagram, too, calling Britney her woman crush Wednesday yesterday, so everyone's standing behind her.
And a video I'd recommend today, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Cassie, but it's Prince Harry yesterday at a ballet class in West London with a bunch of little 5-year-old girls, and he's doing the tree pose while they do ballet.
He is getting ready for daddy duty with this one. I love it. I love it so much. Yeah, I did see photos because they posted them on their new Instagram account, which is really cool. Sussex Royal is the new and hottest and latest Instagram account to follow. And actually, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle broke a record with their new account by when they gained 1 million followers in less than 6 hours. Obviously, they have way more than 1 million now. I believe last time I checked, they were well over 3 million. They broke the record. Last person who did that was someone who had 1 million followers in over 11 hours. I mean, they beat them by plenty of time. Pope Francis, it took him 12 hours to get to 1 million followers.
How about that?
I'm a little bit annoyed that they're doing a joint account. It reminds me of, I know you're younger, but when I was young, parents had joint email accounts, like it would say Steve and Maureen at yahoo.com, and it was so lame. And so this, I don't like the joint account. I want separate accounts.
Well, did it really bug you when Prince Harry and Prince William and their wives were all on one on Kensington Royal?
Yeah, I kind of found that the family Instagram, but I want Meghan doing her own influencer.
See, somebody's got to take charge of the Insta.
Right?
So.
Well, she used to have it, but obviously when you marry into the royal family, there's some things you have to leave behind. And her Instagram account with her pictures of her avocado toast.
I know. That's what I want to see.
It's so funny because yesterday on ET Live, we did a segment of all the things that we'd want to see from this new Sussex Royal account. And one of them was like a fashion photo of Meghan on a red carpet. Another one was Prince Harry like breaking it down to his favorite song on the radio. Another one was like Meghan's avocado toast. I know. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm going to I'm not going to hold my breath on that one, though, but would love to see that type of content. But obviously, I'm hoping, obviously, this is where they make their big announcement when the baby arrives. You know, any day now, Megan's due at the end of the month, early next month. So maybe we'll see our first glimpse of baby Sussex on this new Instagram account.
Very cool. Cassie, you're great to come on with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, you know what? I really appreciate you guys having me, and I'd love to join you anytime. So thank you so much.
ET Live. Follow Cassie on social media everywhere as well. It's Cassie DeLaura.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Keep these texters coming. Text question, what makes you sound old when you say trousers? My wife calls a shopping cart a buggy.
Oh, God.
847, put your sneakers on.
Yeah, sneakers.
Kicks.
Kicks.
Slides.
Keds.
219, I still say, holy moly. 847, how about check the message board when you want to check your messages on your phone?
Okay, that's really throwback-ish, right?
Yeah, I feel like answering machine's right in there as well.
Yeah. Do they have any messages on the machine? 630, turn on the tube. 815, how about make a Xerox copy? 815, microwave. It's a radar range.
Oh, wow.
And when I was a kid, our TV, the tube in it, it took about 10 or 15 minutes for it to warm up.
Yeah, it'll make this noise. They get progressively louder.
Yes.
You turn it off, and it would have that little white dot in the middle for about 5 minutes.
And that's how you knew the radiation was leaving?
Yes.
Yeah. 219, if you tell people you want to sit in the comfy chair. Yeah, there's not a lot of 18-year-olds going, which one's the comfy chair?
That's a good point.
And one more. Is it old when I say whoopsie daisy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That is old.
Yeah. Whoopsie daisy. You funny people. One more break for the news right now on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We've rightfully been caught up in the Lori Lightfoot demolishing of Tony Preckwinkle to win the mayor's office, but another big office in Chicago, and some may call this an upset. Some may have expected it was coming, but a lot of responsibility now. Melissa Conyers-Irvin, your state rep, who is now the new city treasurer, and joins us now. Congratulations on your victory.
Thank you so much, Steve. Good morning. Good morning.
What made you want to be treasurer?
Well, you know, my background actually is in finance. I have actually an MBA in finance from Roosevelt University while I was working full-time in the private sector for over 15 years.
Well, I think about the fact that the city's got money problems not dissimilar to the state. Where do you attack first?
You know, what we do first is make certain that first and foremost we look at our investment strategy to make certain that we're making smart investments environmentally and socially responsible and make certain that we're getting the greatest return on our investments. You know, I'm going to be certain when I walk into City Hall to make certain that I am a watchdog of taxpayers' dollars. We have to protect the principal. That's first and foremost.
And, you know, that's the problem, right? Because you saw this in Springfield, the idea that we give more money to politicians to spend, we'd like to know that it's being spent responsibly, and we certainly haven't felt that in a long time.
And that's why it's important where I am proposing a four-point plan. And really, it's all-encompassing of a financial analysis being done outside of the mayor's office. Right now, it's like the fox watching the hen house. All of the analysis is being done through the mayor's office or city council with the council office of financial analysis, which we know is ineffective. Residents are asking for transparency, accountability, and efficiency. And I am proposing that the financial analysis be done through the treasurer's office so that we can have an independent and unbiased analysis and truly know what's being spent.
What's your history with Lori Lightfoot, if any?
You know, I don't know her. I've seen her on several occasions. I met her on a couple of occasions. But you know what? I look forward to working with her to help move Chicago forward. You know, she received overwhelming support from residents. Residents are looking for her to take this city forward and looking for true leadership. And I look forward to bringing my expertise to the table, making certain that we're working on behalf of working families. Because at the end of the day, that's who we're beholden to.
Man, the design of the office should have independence, right? I mean, I know you have to work with the mayor, but you do. Well, I guess that's the question. How independently can you operate?
very independently. You know, the treasurer has the autonomy in choosing who we will invest with. The city council approves a list of municipal depositories, but the city treasurer would choose from that list whom we will invest in. And I am committed to only investing in institutions that invest in us. We have to make certain that all 77 communities of Chicago is represented and making certain that they receive investments, not just downtown.
How do we communicate a solution to the pension problem in the city? The state pension problem is just historically bad, but to communicate a solution to it where those who've committed and been in the program aren't going to lose money, but new people who come in are going to have to take a haircut from what the system is now. I mean, it just seems like communication of that is the biggest problem.
That communication is important, and the you know, Mayor-elect Lyford and the next city council, they're going to have to make some really tough decisions. What my role is going to be as the city treasurer, you know, I sit as an ex-FTCO member on four pension boards. I want to make certain that we're looking at the investment strategy of our pensions, making certain we're making the right investments, getting the greatest return on investments. I truly want to take the role of the city treasurer and dive deep into how we're investing to make certain that these are the right investments getting the greatest return, as well as the same with our pension funds. And I believe, and this is one of the 4 points I'm proposing when I mentioned the all-encompassing independent and unbiased financial analysis, I believe we need an independent financial analysis of our pension funds as well, so residents can truly know what we're doing.
Mayor Emanuel's done a nice job of luring new business to Chicago. You know, the old saying is, if you see cranes above a city skyline, you know that there's good things going on. And we've had a lot of development and building and things like that. You know, generally speaking, when you keep those things going, eventually you're going to have to issue bonds and other things. Is that in the future?
If there are bond deals in the future, I want to make certain that the treasurer's office is providing a financial analysis of it, which is why I think the council office of financial analysis should be transferred to the treasurer's office, because currently that office is ineffective. It does not provide information in a timely manner, and information is not provided to residents. Residents want transparency and accountability, as well as efficiency. They want to know where their dollars are being spent.
You know, you've got to have that communication, and offices have to communicate with each other to know how much money you're going to have to be able to spend by way of investments in different things. It can't happen in real time. Oh, look, this just came in. Now I'll invest it now. It's not the way life works, right?
No, it's not the way life works. But, you know, really, at the end of the day, we need people to come into office, and we need them to protect, you know, the taxpayers' money, which is very important for me. You know, I am born in Inglewood, raised on the west side of Chicago by a single mother of three girls, and I know the value of a dollar. I know how important it is to our working families. The working families of Chicago cannot afford to lose any money. We cannot afford to lose the principal. And so my primary function as the city treasurer of Chicago is to make certain that we're protecting taxpayers' dollars. I have to walk into City Hall, and I have to balance that checkbook and make certain we're meeting our daily cash flow needs while making smart investments, getting the greatest return.
What'd your family think of the win?
You know, my mother, more so than anyone, is so proud. My mother, being a single mother of three girls, you know, raising me on the west side, me being born in Inglewood, she can't be more proud. My mother was a union worker for over 24 years. I really watched her fight for a livable wage. I always say that my adoration for women began when I watched my mother struggle and really watched my mother balance the checkbook by herself, making ends meet. And so I take great honor in being able to be a fiscal watchdog of taxpayers' money. I plan to be the best city treasurer that Chicago has ever seen. I have some great shoes to fill. I look forward to working with Treasurer Summers on this transition. Him and I have been in discussion, and we look forward to moving Chicago forward.
You know, you're a young woman. Could you see yourself in the mayor's office someday?
Oh, my gosh. I'm focusing on this. I think that this task of handling $8 billion is certainly a great task. I'll tell you, Steve, I'm honored that people even trust me to handle $8 billion of their money. You know, I am a young woman, a mother of a 2.5-year-old daughter, and my young daughter is watching her mother, you know, come into her way. And I just appreciate that. And I want my daughter and all young men and women around Chicago, Illinois, and the country to know that they can do the same. I wanted to follow the American dream, and I don't want our children to be limited by their zip code. And this, to me, the sky is the limit for the children of Chicago, and I look forward to fighting for them every day.
Well, you know, you sound like exactly the right person for the job, and I know it's not going to be easy, but one foot in front of the other, and let's get going, right?
Thank you, Steve. I'm ready for it.
Wait, hold on. Your mic's not on.
Melissa, are you going to miss anything about representing that district? Because you're going to obviously not be doing that anymore.
Yes, I have, 6 weeks before taking office, May 20th. And, you know, I'm back in Springfield as of yesterday. You know, the election was Tuesday night. Wednesday, I was back in Springfield. I'm here now. You know, I have to make certain that I fulfill the duties of what I was elected for until I transition into the office of the city treasurer. So very important to me, Mary. Great question. I believe in doing what I was hired to do.
Thanks for being on. Well, I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
There you go. That's your new city treasurer. As change keeps coming to Chicago.
My goodness. I mean, I feel so confident in her plan and how she... You're saying your zip code shouldn't define what your American dream possibilities are. It's pretty powerful.
Let's get rid of all the guys. Women are running the city now.
That's right.
I think it's a good idea.
Right?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hey. 312. What's the phone number here? I forgot already. 312-991. What is it? 312-981-7200.
That's the one.
Let's play a quick round of Fact or Fiction again. This is a hot new game show. We played it all morning because we're really pumping it right now. We're pumping it hard now because the syndicators are listening.
It's fun.
It's going to be a big, big, big show. A lot of people are talking. A lot of people are talking about it. It's not like Trump now. A lot of people are saying Fact or Fiction. 312-981-7200. It's very simple. John will give you a fact. It'll either be a real fact or a fake fact. And all you have to do is decide which to win. And by the way, because I'm easy, you've probably seen that on the wall of the men's room or the women's room, you can win because, you know, if you get it wrong, I'll give you a bonus question. And if you get it wrong a second time, I'll probably still give you something because, you know, I just appreciate the fact that you're listening. 312-981-7200 is the number. Brian is in Johnsburg. And we'll start with Brian right now. Go ahead, Brian. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, give him a fact or fiction.
All right, here you go, Brian. Vice President Antonio Perromo was influential in making Columbus Day a national holiday. It was signed by William McKinley, then president, the day before he was assassinated.
What was the vice president's name?
Antonio Perromo.
Never heard of him.
Fiction.
Yeah, I totally made that.
Antonio Perromo.
I know.
I thought he was from another country.
Who was McKinley's vice president?
I don't know, but McKinley wasn't involved in this either. So,
but McKinley was shot.
He was shot. Yes.
So there had to be a vice president that came in after him.
Yeah.
So whoever followed McKinley.
Roosevelt.
President
took over for him.
President Perromo.
Perromo.
Hey, Brian, congratulations. Hold on.
His vice president was Theodore Roosevelt.
Wait, he's going to get an APT gift card, pleasing people since 1936.
John's in Evergreen Park. John, here's your fact or fiction.
I'm ready.
Here you go, John. Of all the people in history that have reached 65 years of age, half of them are living right now.
Oh, that's a cool one.
That's a good one.
That is fiction.
Oh, I don't know, man. Say it again.
Of all the people in history that have reached 65 years of age, half of them are living right now.
That feels like yes, but you think fiction, right, dude?
Yeah, you know what? It might be it's a yes.
Yeah, I think it's a yes.
It's a yes.
Wow. Yeah.
It is a yes. Very good.
Because the lifespan.
Yeah.
This is why, and John, you may know this, but this is why the wedding vows are till death do us part. Because people used to live to 50.
That's a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people. It's a goal. People used to live to be 50 or 55. They go, I can make that. Now they're living to be 80, 85.
Should be renewable every 10 years.
Hold the line, man. You're a winner, too. What did he win?
He's going to win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
All right, so he gets pizza. 312-981-7200 number. We'll see if we can get another one in before 10 o'clock. People are loving Fact or Fiction. It's blowing up the phones. It's a big, big deal. No one's ever done a game like this. It's very groundbreaking.
I'm looking down right now. There are over 10,000 people standing by the Chicago River.
And they're chanting, "Hack time, hack time, hack time, hack time." Be back in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la, la. We continue 9/11 in the most beautiful radio studio in the world. High above the Chicago River, looking out on Lake Michigan, Navy Pier, the Chicago skyline. You should see our office. Sweet. People are, much like going to Dave's house, you can come by here anytime.
Yeah, so. Just come on by.
Yeah.
But you notice
good luck
the,
finding Dave's house.
The photo gallery that Mary put up of the guacamole
the taste test
comparison.
Yesterday. Yeah.
And you could see in the pictures when Mary's setting it up, the sun is just beginning to rise behind her over Lake Michigan. It's
pretty
spectacular.
Great.
That gallery is at WGMRadio.com. You can see it at Steve Cochran Show Facebook, Instagram.
I did not have guacamole last night.
No?
No.
Though you did have it in our taste testing, though.
And I did say I may eat it now. I'm still not convinced.
Maybe you should get a burrito on National Burrito Day with a whole lot of guacamole in there. Buddy.
Today is Burrito Day.
There you go.
And a dollop of sour cream as well.
I was in a band called Dollop of Sour Cream. Dave, introduce our guest.
Well, this is Shelley Zucker. And Shelley has a book that is out now. A book actually that was written by...
Playing Games is Serious Business.
There it is. I was scrambling around for the book, but Steve Zucker was a
guy you knew,
very familiar. Yeah, he was a name very familiar, I think, to Bears fans back in the early 80s.
Big shot agent.
First and foremost, represented Jim McMahon.
Right, right. And you wanted to complete this book as partly a legacy to Steve, right?
Yes, we wanted to get this book out. Steve was very sick.
Right.
And he was in the hospital. It was November 1st. And he was in intensive care, and I knew this was not going to be a good thing. I said to Steve, "What can I do for you?
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Get my book published."
Well, that's a pretty clear mission in a statement there, isn't it?
It's pretty clear, but that's a daunting... That's not just the easiest thing to do.
Well, it wasn't easy because I knew we didn't have much time. I ran out of that intensive care unit. And I called up his best friend, Rick Fizdale, who may be a familiar name to you.
Sure.
He was CEO of Leo Burnett. And I said, "Rick, I've got to get this book published now." And he said, "How much time do I have?" I said, "We've got 3 weeks."
Oh, is that right?
And within, I would say 1 hour, I got a call from a publishing company in New Orleans. And she said to me, "We've got 3 weeks." And I said to her, "Suzanne, this book is finished. It's in the computer. The cover is done. We got to do this." And I am very proud to say that Thanksgiving, I got delivery of the book.
How about that? Look at you. Very impressive. You know, when you get a life mission like that, you got to step up, right?
You've got to step up. You've got to do what you've got to do.
Now, did you stay friends with the McMahons back in the day?
Oh, we're very close. We're very close. Jim is family. Nancy's former wife is family. Jim is now a grandfather.
But when Jim was Steve's client, Jim must have been the son we love, but he troubles us.
Oh, he troubled us. We, you know, it's very difficult being an agent.
Sure.
Because not only do you have the role of an agent, but you also become the babysitter.
No question. That's the exact right word for it. Babysitter, advisor, agent, dad, brother.
Exactly.
All of those things, Dave.
But becoming an agent was a pretty dramatic change in his career, was it not?
Well, it was a big change in his career. Steve was having back surgery. He was in the hospital at Press St. Luke's, and this is 1984. And the next day, Jim McMahon walks in. We had met Jim through a friend, and Jim walks in with an autographed football. And he said to Steve, who's laying there on drugs, the whole 10 yards, he says to Steve, I need an attorney. He never used the word agent. He said, I need an attorney. Steve looked at Jim and said, I don't do that. Jim says, I trust you.
And why? Why? I mean, what led him to Steve?
What led him to Steve was a friend of his who was his former football agent. And
knew Steve or knew him through people?
The agent knew Steve.
Okay.
And he brought Jim to the house in 1982.
Oh, okay, so Jim was just closing the deal.
Jim was closing the deal.
Jim was just walking in going, hey, man, I know you're in a hospital bed, but I need an agent.
That's exactly right.
You know, I always felt from afar that McMahon was more show business and behind, and I've gotten to know him a little bit through the years.
Yeah.
But behind the scenes was a pretty good guy. Would you describe him as a pretty good guy?
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Teddy bear.
Yes. He's got a big heart. And if you're a friend, he will be a superb friend.
But he loved that. I mean, look, all the Bears. Hamp was a good friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
All those Bears were the biggest rock stars on the planet.
Well, rightfully so. They were the Super Bowl champions.
What else do you cover in Playing Games is Serious Business?
So Steve talks about negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, well, Jim's first contract. He had to negotiate with Jerry Vannese.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say how, you know, he didn't know how to do this, but he had great experience being a prosecutor, being a trial lawyer. He was a criminal defense lawyer all those years.
Well, that's negotiation.
And that is negotiation. And when he went into the Bears office to meet with Vannese for the first time, Jerry Vannese writes it in the book, that he was very impressed, that Steve was very well-read and he knew his business.
You know, what's funny about agents is it's not changed back then to today, is everyone in management in show business, and sports is show business, they'll look at talent, whether they be athletes or broadcasters or movie stars or TV stars, and they go, you don't need an agent. He's talked to me. He's the agent. Agents just getting away. You don't need any. Here's the thing. The general manager, the owner, whomever you talk to, their job is negotiating every day. Your job is playing the game. You're not on even playing fields. This is the agent is the person who has to go in, who has the negotiating skill to get it done. It's nothing personal. It's just business.
It is business. And Steve would never allow any of his players to sit in on any negotiation for fear they would speak out the wrong way.
Yeah, stay out of the room.
Stay out of the room. The only one that wanted to come in the room was Deion Sanders.
Oh, of course.
And what happened with that? And what happened with that negotiation? Deion did not like what he was hearing, and he jumped up and ran out of the room.
Oh, he did?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you do not bring a player in the room with you. This is for professionals, not for players.
For sure.
Was the, I'm not sure what the term would be, the love, hate. Hate might be too strong a word. The relationship between McMahon and Ditka overplayed a bit?
It was very overplayed. I believe then, and I believe now, that Ditka loved Jim.
Well, I think Mike has said that, hasn't he, Dave?
I think he has. Yeah. I think he drove him crazy sometimes.
Well, I think he saw a little bit of himself in Jim.
Yeah.
You know. Jim would stay when Jim was hurt and he was pulled out of games.
Sure.
Jim would stand beside Ditka and scream, put me in there, put me in there. I mean, he drove Ditka nuts, and rightfully so. You know, Ditka responded.
That was the Thursday night game in Minnesota where he put him in the game to shut him up, basically.
Was that the three-touchdown game?
That was the three-touchdown
game. But wasn't that the audible game, too, where he lost his mind?
No, that was Harbaugh.
That was Harbaugh.
That was Harbaugh.
Okay. By the way, very handsome picture of your husband on Playing Games is Serious Business, out and available everywhere. Get to at least two copies because you're careless. You'll lose your, you know, you'll lose one. You get McMahon locked in. Is that when the phone started ringing and other guys wanted to be a part of it?
After the 85 Super Bowl you're talking about? The phones did not stop ringing.
Right.
I mean, we had six lines, and they were lit up constantly. Jim was in great demand. And we had, I traveled with Jim and Nancy and Steve and I, and we traveled. We met so many people. We did so many gigs. But there were a lot of good stories. I mean, we had fun.
And the tough thing is when you become a hot agent and you have other clients, they have demands as well. But when you've got the hottest of hot properties, it's important for you to get on the road with them. It's important for you to go to the Tonight Show, to sit in the green room, to help them get through whatever the day is, to make sure they're best representing their brand. So I imagine he was pulled in a lot, your husband, Steve, was pulled in a lot of different directions.
He was. But, you know, Jim is only one person. And mm-hmm. I was doing marketing for Steve at the time.
Sure.
And Jim was only one person. So whatever, you know, Jim could not handle or did not want to do, I would hand it off to, you know, his other clients, people like Dave Duerson or Otis Wilson or McKinnon.
I was going to ask you, who are some of the other favorite guys that you you guys worked with?
Well, I had a favorite.
Who was yours?
And my favorite was David Duerson.
Yeah, sure.
This was a class act guy.
And a brilliant guy.
And a brilliant guy, graduate of Notre Dame Financial.
Mm-hmm.
He was such a wonderful guy. In fact, Steve talked to him just 3 weeks before, you know.
Before he took his life.
Before he took his life. So, yeah, I think Dave will always be a part of me.
Is it tough being the wife of a super agent when he's got to, you know, you're part of the business, and he tells you what's going on? Did you ever have an inclination to pick up the phone and go, Dion, lighten up and let Steve do the job?
No, the only one that I could talk to like that was Jim.
Oh, is that right?
So
you could go, I'm your big sister, I'm your mom, I'm your aunt, whatever.
One night we were out to dinner, and we were at a party at Studio 54 in New York. It was right after the Super Bowl. And Steve Rebell, the owner of Studio 54.
Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah.
He took us to Luger's Steakhouse in Brooklyn.
Right.
So he comes to the table, and he said, I'd like you to meet my friend Calvin. So after dinner, let's go over. And Jim goes, no, I'm tired. I want to go back to the hotel. Well, when he said my friend over Central Park, I figured out who Calvin was. Calvin Klein.
Oh, wow.
I gave Jim. Jim was sitting across from me. I gave him such a kick in the shins. And he sat up straight. I mean, I could deal with Jim.
Sure.
And he sat up straight.
And he knew you meant business.
And he said, okay, we'll go for a little while.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, why would you turn down Calvin Klein, please?
We got a lot of good deals. I knew what I was doing.
Sure.
We got a tuxedo.
Come on. Of course. Football, baseball, basketball, life, negotiations, business advice, it's all in. Playing games is serious business. You've done your husband proud.
I hope so.
There's also
some cool pictures, right?
Yes.
In the book, yeah.
Yes, it's very good cool pictures.
So get it. It's out and available. Amazon, well, wherever books are sold. Playing games is serious business. Nice to see you. Thanks for being
nice
here.
Nice to see you, and thank you for having me.
Of course. It's 9:24. We'll come back.
The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This morning on the way into the plant here, the radio plant, I said, and I picked up John DeCoss, and for analogy purposes, I'm Fred, he's Barney.
Yes.
We're on the way into slate rock and gravel.
Hey, Fred.
Does your feet get wet? Because it is, you know, it's been raining.
It has been raining, and that's how we break, you know, in the car.
Right.
But I said to John, hey.
The big ribs tilted the car to one side on the way in.
I said to John, I said, hey, I'll roll up the window. And he said, how old are you? Because nobody says roll up the window anymore. Here's a few more. I mentioned this before, but I like this one.
And I said, pull the choke.
Yeah. Whoopsie daisy. Whoopsie daisy. You're not going to look like a youngster if you say whoopsie daisy. 847. Anybody that says the word album. Now, see, this is a tough one because albums and records, I think, still work.
Yep.
But they call it vinyl now.
Well,
people say
I got a new album that's going to drop. I got a new record that's going to be released.
Yeah, but that could be anything. The album could be up in the air, you know, on the internet.
But I think what these people that are using it are in their head, it's a record.
Right, like a vinyl record?
Yes, that's why I think that it makes them old.
Now, if you really want to sound old, say, where's the adapter for the 45? Because I keep losing
it. A little clicking.
708 says, man alive! Yeah, man alive will make you sound old.
Mm-hmm.
262, if you use UHF or VHF, both are gone. Yeah. 262. Gee Willikers. Where would that have come from? What's the derivation of Gee Willikers?
Yeah, that's
that's going to be a clue in fact or fiction.
Real or not.
815. I tell my kids, hey, I'll videotape it. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
847. I asked my son if he needed a lozenge instead of a cough drop. He said, how old are you?
A lozenge.
I don't know. I use that.
Lozenge? Yeah. Jackie's mom again said fuddy-duddy.
Oh, fuddy-duddy.
Stop being a fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, there you go. That's another one. 847, describing a classy dresser is, ooh, doesn't he look natty?
I've never heard that before.
Natty.
N-A-double-T-Y, natty.
I don't even know. I don't have
You've never heard that? I've heard
no.
that.
Oh, yeah. More than
no.
snappy?
No, snappy would be something
dresser.
Else. Snappy, yeah. 651, calling a male a fella. Hey there, fella. Is that like gal? Fella, gal?
Yeah, I think
hey,
so.
Gals yes. and fellas?
Gals and fellas.
815, hey, where's my pocketbook?
Pocketbook, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a wallet or a purse? It's a purse.
That's right.
It's
my purse. Mom always had a pocketbook. My wife has a purse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
815, the kids call flip-flop slides now.
Oh, they do?
Well, there's if they're the slide kind, like mm-hmm. the like soccer sandals are slides, you know, the kind
your
that don't.
Your feet slide in. They
I can't wear them.
The little thing between wear
them?
The toes.
Do you walk out of them?
I can't. Yes, they fly off my foot.
Yeah, that's what Patrick, my stepson, can't.
I can't wear them.
If you have really narrow feet, it's really hard to walk in.
No, I don't have narrow feet, but they fly off my foot. The last time I was in Mexico, I killed a tourist. They went flying off my foot, hit them right in the head.
And you can't really ride them on roller coasters. You can't wear them.
No, I can't wear them.
I feel like Mary just, she knows that I'm self-conscious about my foot. Right now, and she just said, if you have narrow feet.
Yeah.
I got fitted for running shoes the other day.
And one of your heels is wider.
Did you go to New Balance?
No. Yeah. I did not.
This is a tragic story, Mary. Listen.
Oh, boy.
I went to a running store by my house, and when I stood on that plate, and then they give you the feedback on your foot. And
they
she
squish
goes,
your foot, yeah.
She's like, oh, your right heel's a little slightly on the wide side. And so I'm like so self-conscious of my heel.
You're going to have surgery.
Well, you had an implant, right?
I feel like my whole right leg is heavier now, and I'm walking like a.
You're gonna have to have heel thinning surgery.
And
that's
what am
the only
I
hope.
Do?
Says that. That's
I know
so
it was weird.
Weird.
It was. She gave me a stats on every part of my foot, and the right heel is on the wide side, and it was like, well, that seems imbalanced. Like,
you know what happened if you told that to a guy? He'd go, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one? 11, 11 and a half.
Looking into heel surgeries.
By the way, the device you were standing on is called a Brannock device.
Oh, really?
It is?
Yeah. You know how I know that? I worked at Kinney's Shoes.
Shut up.
Look at you.
At yeah. Kinney's, I like to think that they've maybe upgraded since when you had a job at Kinney's.
The same stupid thing. It's the same little metal slide deal.
No, I didn't name
it.
Was
it somebody?
This was
it next to, yeah. Next to Robert Hall?
No, the thing.
Robert Hall, I remember that too.
The yeah. thing I stood on is like a power plate that gives digital input. It's not the black slidey thing.
Oh. Well, they do still have the black slidey yeah. thing. I've seen them.
I used to pinch my toes when I was little.
262 swimming trunks. And one more, 773. You've got more stuff than Carter has pills.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Carter's little pills. Someone's like, my grandma.
I have liver pills, I think. My mom used to say. Then Carter has liver pills, whatever that means.
More to come. And
wait, Steve, we're going to give away two pairs of family four-packs to see the White Sox play Seattle Mariners on Sunday, April 7th. Two four-packs right now, 7th caller and 14th caller.
847. Oh, my lumbago.
My lumbago.
What the hell is your lumbago? That's a back thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Back with your headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Purple Rain. We're scheduled to be at Greater Guaranteed Rate Field. Greater. For the White Sox and the home opener today, but there is no home opener.
There will be. Not today, though.
White Sox canceled this game actually yesterday. Not wanting people to ruin their entire day coming to a game that was going to be rained out. So I said, well, who can we talk to about this? Who do we know? And I said, well, my friend Tom Skilling. Tom Skilling knows every second of all the weather all around the world. If you needed weather in Dubai, you could see Tom at a Jewel, and you'd go, well, or Riyadh. What's the weather in Riyadh right now? He could tell you. You wouldn't even need to click on it. He knows everything. Scientist, genius, buddy of mine, Tom Skilling. Good morning, Tom.
Hello, Steve.
How are you, sir?
You give me more credit. You give me much more credit than I deserve. I have to do a little research on the temperature in Dubai right now. I could find it, though, for
yes,
you.
Yes, you could. Yes, you
but
could.
But I don't have it right in front of me. I've got to be honest with you. How are you doing? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Well, you know, I'm doing fine. Everything's good here, and I hope you're well as well. I see you every day on television, like the rest of Chicago does. And I remind people all the time, you're the franchise. So I've been talking to Paul Rennie.
Oh.
Paul Rennie, who runs, Paul Rennie runs TV and radio, and my suggestion is that we wrap you in bubble wrap every night when you're done with TV. We bring you home and make sure that nothing happens to you, and then we get you back in the next day.
Oh, I tell you, Steve, you are incredibly generous. Maybe a bit misinformed about that, but I, that probably is about the only thing you're misinformed about.
That's
you
true.
Know?
That's true. The rest of the stuff I know. All right, so is it going to rain all day?
You know what? It'll come and go. And I think the Sox made a good decision there because this is not a good day. The wind's blowing in from the east. We'll have low and mid-40s. And I don't know about you, Steve. I mean, I love baseball, but it's pretty hard to sit there and watch a game when you've got, a raw, damp easterly wind blowing and a temperature of 45. But the good news is it looks better tomorrow for the home opener. So it may be a little cloudy, might be some peaks of sun, but it ought to be warmer, and we'll dispense with these easterly winds and the rain threat that we have going today. So I think it looks better.
And my wife and I go to Charleston this weekend. We haven't been there in a long time. We lived there for a couple of years, and we haven't been there in a long time. And it looks like the temperature in Charleston Saturday is about 5 degrees warmer than it's going to be here.
I know. You know, they just said goodbye to one of these bomb cyclones that went off the East Coast. Now, it was a little north of Charleston, but boy, this thing spun up. It even developed a little eye-like feature off the East Coast. So there have been a lot of those this year. But, it's a beautiful place to go. There's no question about that.
And Saturday, you know, Saturday looks great here?
Here in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks nice. Now, I'll tell you, we'll have a southeast wind, so we'll have 50s on the shoreline and the beaches. But if you go inland a little bit, out toward O'Hare and DuPage County, Kane, McHenry counties like that, 60s are on the way. In fact, Steve, this weekend will be about 25 degrees warmer than last, and probably overall the warmest weekend we've had here in 6 months. And we'll add a little moisture to the air with a temperature flirting with the low 70s in many areas Sunday. And while that presents a chance of a shower or thunderstorm later in the day, it will be the warmest weekend we've had around here since early October, 6 months ago. After this crummy period we've gone through with these below normal temperatures, I think we're going to all be out in the streets celebrating.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be pretty nice.
Yeah, just dancing in the streets. So this...
By the way, I do that regularly anyway.
I know you
know, I like to dance in the streets on my weekends. Yeah.
The neighbors.
In the neighborhood, but...
Yeah. Mommy, why is Tom Skilling dancing in the street again?
Dancing in the street.
What's wrong with Mr. Skilling? Hey, what's a normal high for this time of year?
Normal high is, I'll get it for you right now, 54. Normal low is 35. This is the second fastest warming month of the year. April is. We'll have normal highs in the mid-60s. And I checked the record, Steve. There's a 100% climatological probability we will have a 70-degree day or more than one, hopefully. And there's even a near 100% probability of an 80-degree day at some point before this month goes into the book. So that'll be kind of nice.
A little payback for those 2 days in a row where it was 60 below or whatever the temperature was.
Right. I know.
So, Tom and I, now I promised you guys this last time, and it's my fault. I haven't gotten a hold of Tom to do this, but we are going to do a climate change podcast. Because
you know what, Steve? You've done your homework on that. I didn't get back to you. Your producer contacted me. We've got to do that. I was just looking over what's been going on up in, say, Alaska. And they're breaking all kinds of records up there. The roads are melting. You know, they depend on permafrost and, on ice along the coastline to buffer the coastline from waves. This is all going. The Bering Sea has the lowest ice content on record. And you might say, well, that's thousands of miles away. What does that have to do with us? warming up there, which is going on at twice the pace as the rest of the planet, buckles the jet streams and creates extremes of weather here in the mid-latitudes as it does so. So, you know, as they say, what goes on in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic. And despite the fact we had some chilly weather this past late winter, the winter as a whole came in a few tenths of a degree above normal here in Chicago. And we had, for the winter season, only about a half an inch more snow than is usual. So, you go out to the west, you know, Seattle, where there was much news about these record early snows. Within 2 weeks of that, they were breaking all-time early spring records of 80 degrees out there. And it's just, it's wild. And California came off one of its worst droughts ever. Now they've got a bloom. But, you know, don't expect that to last. They, they're going into what's called a precipitation whiplash phase. So we're going to see them go from extremes of rain back to drought. But on the good side of the ledger, this is the lowest percentage of the country that has been in drought since the drought monitor, which is kind of the definitive monitor of national drought, has started back in 2000. So that's good news.
Well, that's good. As Super Joe and I have been tag teaming on trying to book this podcast with Steve Cochran and Tom Skilling, and one of the reasons why we can't book it is because Tom's schedule, Tom does not have an uninterrupted 15 minutes to offer. You know, Monday through Sunday.
He's not kidding. He's not kidding.
We have to get something on a Sunday on the books like 4 months from now.
Right.
And, you know, he'll book you then. But
that would be great. It would be great. It's a fascinating subject. It has real implications for all of us. I mean, look at this flooding these folks in Nebraska have just been through and parts of Iowa and Missouri. You know, this is considered the largest agricultural disaster in recent U.S. history, what's gone on out there, and they're putting the price tag on the damage from that at something like $1.3 billion in Nebraska alone. And this has climate change written all over
sure.
it. You know, it's just amazing. That's coming off Florence that produced the heaviest rains ever recorded in North Carolina. Michael, that was the worst hurricane ever, went into the Florida panhandle. Harvey last year that put 60 inches of rain down on parts of the Houston area, the heaviest ever in any tropical cyclone making landfall in this country. So, you know, this is not imaginary. It's here right now. And look at the flooding in our area up in the Rock and Pecatonica rivers. You talk to anybody on our rivers, and they tell you, you know, they're leaving their homes for flooding more frequently than anybody can remember. So that's one of the hallmarks of climate change. A warmer atmosphere holds more water. The storms are wetter. They're moving slower in the case of hurricanes and tropical cyclones. And that's not only going on in our country. It's going on. Look at Mozambique. That's probably the worst southern hemispheric natural disaster, this the cyclone that came in off
awful.
The Indian
awful.
Ocean. Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, you know, the death toll is at least 1,000, and they'll probably never know how many died in that.
Exactly.
So it's a lot of stuff going on.
So we will talk it out, and Tom and I will talk a little bit about how we both went from skeptics to believers in the statistics back it up, and there's no way to deny it, and we've got to start working on it. We can't just go, here's the magic bullet, but we can't ignore it either. At any rate, we'll see you on TV all day today, my friend.
Steve, it is always great to talk to you. Continued success in the mornings. You're knocking everybody dead. And it's great to call you a friend.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Right.
And the whole team there, you've got an amazing. We see Dave Ennett there. We pry his eyelids open at night because he's up early in the morning with you. And I'm always amazed at Dave. I say, how do you do this? I said, what time are you getting up tomorrow morning? He said, oh, about 2:30, you know, to be with you guys in the morning. And yet he never misses a beat.
And he's still a handsome devil, too.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
No, it's true. He is a handsome devil and a nice guy on top of it.
Yeah, so well, that's the part that's fake. Thank you, buddy. All the best. That's a great Tom Skilling. Bill and Wendy will join us in just a second.
Hey, can I correct myself? I made a mistake.
What'd you do?
The young boy that could be identified today is Timothy Pitson.
Timothy Pitson.
I used the wrong name. So
right.
Could be a big development coming up.
Coming up. Stand by for that. A couple more phrases that make you sound old, or things that make you sound old when you say, for crying out loud.
when you say it that way.
Yeah, yeah, that helps it.
I say that all the time. Oh.
If you call the receptionist desk the switchboard. How about if you have a receptionist?
Yeah.
I'm 58 years old. My kids always ask me to stop calling pants britches. Put on your britches.
Put on your britches.
Let's see. We go to the beauty shop once a week for a shampoo and set.
I
can't
still
say
do
beauty
that,
shop either.
Yeah. Criminy! That's another one. And
no, you say criminy. That's how I say it.
In the parlor, the sofa in the front room, scrub your teeth, and oh my lumbago. Those are all bad.
Man.
And sure sign you're old, you make noises when you get out of the car. Kiss my butt.
Although we both did in the garage this morning.
How's that new? Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. I've never seen the hand wringing over anything like I've seen Bill and Dave and now John DeCoss over the closing of Lucky Fish, the restaurant. You guys have been talking about this since Monday.
It's so upsetting to all of us.
This is just wrong on every level.
Well, because we knew that they had closed they had opened a second location a couple years ago in Northbrook, and then they closed that one, and we knew it. And then Dave said, slid in that they then closed the original location, which was terribly troubling to all of us.
Yes. Dave and Bill were talking about a sit-in yesterday.
Yeah, we were organizing
that was
a sit-in.
Bill's idea.
It was the most fabulous place, and it had this cool like garage door that opened up for the summer when you could sit outside, and it was kind of tucked behind other things.
Well, apparently, you huge Lucky Fish fans weren't going enough.
I know.
We were going pretty often, but not enough. You're right.
How often did you go?
About once every month, month and a half.
Yeah, it's not going to get it done.
That's not enough.
We're going to need you there weekly.
Not anymore. But we didn't have a chance to say goodbye. That's the tragedy. In a lot of restaurants' cases, they go, we're going to close in August, we're going to close in November. So you go, I'm going to make a couple more trips, but there was no time.
I'm working on a song right now.
Where possibly could you get seafood? I mean, now that Lucky Fish is
closed. You've got to go to Long John Silver now.
Yeah. Red Lobster.
Arthur Treacher's.
For the seafood lover in us.
Red Lobster, go for the biscuits, stay for the whatever else comes out.
That's their tagline?
Yeah.
That's a little long. Counterproductive.
Tomorrow, Justin's in for me?
Justin is in, and we're going to be at guaranteed rate with Dave Bennett running around on the field and antics like that.
Sorry I'm going to miss the opener. I know the White Sox are crushed that I won't be there, but I'm off
Very
tomorrow
exciting.
On Monday.
At 9:10, AJ Pruszynski is joining
we
us.
We like AJ.
He's really funny on the video.
So. You like AJ when he's on your side, on your team.
Otherwise, not so much.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to do the, is it Michael Barrett that he punched? Dave and AJ reenact.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be a good video, I think.
Right at home plate, yeah.
You know what? Have him punch Justin.
Justin was going to fill in for you tomorrow.
I'll be back on Tuesday. I'm off tomorrow, Monday. Is Justin in Monday as well?
Actually, there was a death, so he is no longer in on Monday. So I'm sorry that I'm saying that now, but you asked me directly. So I was
hostless.
Seventh caller gets to host the morning show Monday.
a friend, the wife of the friend of his that had cancer. Unfortunately.
All right, so we'll have someone on the radio Monday with you guys. And then I'll be back on Tuesday. John, thank you for whatever you did today.
I wasn't even here.
And here's Wendy of the famous Bill and Wendy Show.